Chapter 70. Spoken a word, since he had asked for another slice of beef at a quarter past 5 o'clock, p.m., and it was then 8. Well, Tom, apostrophe observed his good-natured uncle, never mind. I think with you. I shouldn't like to wear a wig. I'd rather wear an apron. Apostrophe, Mr. Malderton coughed violently. Mr. Barton resumed for, if a man's above his business apostrophe, the cough returned with tenfold violence, and did not cease until the unfortunate cause of it, in his alarm, had quite forgotten what he intended to say. Apostrophe Mr. Sparkins, apostrophe said Flamwell, returning to the charge, do you happen to know Mr. Delafontaine, of Bedford Square? Apostrophe, I have exchanged cards with him, since which, indeed, I have had an opportunity of serving him considerably, apostrophe replied Horatio, slightly coloring, no doubt, at having been betrayed into making the acknowledgement. You are very lucky, if you have had an opportunity of obliging that great man, apostrophe observed Flamwell, with an air of profound respect. I don't know who he is, apostrophe he whispered to Mr. Malderton, confidentially, as they followed Horatio up to the drawing room. It's quite clear, however, that he belongs to the law, and that he is somebody of great importance, and very highly connected. Apostrophe, no doubt, apostrophe returned his companion. The remainder of the evening passed away most delightfully. Mr. Malderton, relieved from his apprehensions by the circumstance of Mr. Barton's falling into a profound sleep, was as affable and gracious as possible. Miss Teresa played the Fall of Paris, apostrophe as Mr. Sparkins declared, in a most masterly manner, and both of them, assisted by Mr. Frederick, tried over glees and trios without number, they having made the pleasing discovery that their voices harmonized beautifully. To be sure, they all sang the first part, and Horatio, in addition to the slight drawback of having no ear, was perfectly innocent of knowing a note of music. Still, they passed the time very agreeably, and it was past 12 o'clock before Mr. Sparkins ordered the morning coach-looking steed to be brought out, an order which was only complied with on the distinct understanding that he was to repeat his visit on the following Sunday. But, perhaps, Mr. Sparkins will form one of our party tomorrow evening? Apostrophe suggested Mrs. M. Apostrophe Mr. Malderton intends taking the girls to see the pantomime. Apostrophe Mr. Sparkins bowed, and promised to join the party in Box 48 in the course of the evening. We will not tax you for the morning, apostrophe said Miss Teresa, bewitchingly. For Ma's going to take us to all sorts of places, shopping. I know that gentlemen have a great horror of that employment. Apostrophe Mr. Sparkins bowed again, and declared that he should be delighted, but business of importance occupied him in the morning. Flamwell looked at Malderton significantly. It's term time. Apostrophe, he whispered. At 12 o'clock on the following morning, the fly was at the door of Oak Lodge, to convey Mrs. Malderton and her daughters on their expedition for the day. They were to dine, and dress for the play at a friend's house. First, driving thither with their bandboxes, they departed on their first errand, to make some purchases at Messrs. Jones, Spruggins, and Smith's, of Tottenham Court Road. After which, they were to go to Redmayne's in Bond Street, thence, to innumerable places that no one ever heard of. The young ladies beguiled the tediousness of the ride by eulogizing Mr. Horatio Sparkins, scolding their mama for taking them so far to save a shilling, and wondering whether they should ever reach their destination. At length, the vehicle stopped before a dirty-looking ticketed linen draper's shop, with goods of all kinds, and labels of all sorts and sizes, in the window. There were dropsical figures of 7 with a little 3 farthings in the corner, perfectly invisible to the naked eye, apostrophe 350,000 ladies' boas, from 1 shilling, and a penny halfpenny, real French kid shoes, at 2 and 9 pence per pair. green parasols, at an equally cheap rate, and every description of goods, apostrophe as the proprietor said, and they must know best 50%, under cost price. Apostrophe, lore, ma, what a place you have brought us to. Apostrophe said Miss Teresa, what would Mr. Sparkin say, if he could see us? Apostrophe apostrophe, ah. What, indeed? Apostrophe said Miss Marianne, horrified at the idea. Pray be seated, ladies. What is the first article? Apostrophe inquired the obsequious master of the ceremonies of the establishment, who, in his large white neckcloth and formal tie, looked like a bad portrait of a gentleman in the Somerset House exhibition. I want to see some silks, apostrophe answered Mrs. Mulderton. Directly, ma'am. Mr. Smith. Where is Mr. Smith? Apostrophe, here, sir, apostrophe cried a voice at the back of the shop. Pray make haste, Mr. Smith, apostrophe said the MC. You never are to be found when you're wanted, sir. Apostrophe, Mr. Smith, thus enjoined to use all possible dispatch, leaped over the counter with great agility, and placed himself before the newly arrived customers. Mrs. Mulderton uttered a faint scream. Miss Teresa, who had been stooping down to talk to her sister, raised her head, and beheld Horatio Sparkins. We will draw a veil, apostrophe as novel writers say, over the scene that ensued. The mysterious, philosophical, romantic, metaphysical Sparkins, he who, to the interesting Teresa, seemed like the embodied idea of the young dukes, and poetical exquisites in blue silk dressing gowns, and ditto-ditto slippers, of whom she had read and dreamed, but had never expected to behold, was suddenly converted into Mr. Samuel Smith, the assistant at a cheap shop, apostrophe the junior partner in a slippery firm of some 3 weeks' existence. The dignified evenishment of the hero of Oak Lodge, on this unexpected recognition, could only be equaled by that of a furtive dog with a considerable kettle at his tail. All the hopes of the Muldertons were destined at once to melt away, like the lemon ices at a company's dinner. Almax was still to them as distant as the North Pole, and Miss Teresa had as much chance of a husband as Captain Ross had of the Northwest Passage. Years have elapsed since the occurrence of this dreadful morning. The daisies have thrice bloomed on Camberwell Green. The sparrows have thrice repeated their vernal chirps in Camberwell Grove. But the Miss Muldertons are still unmated. Miss Teresa's case is more desperate than ever. But Flamwell is yet in the zenith of his reputation. And the family have the same predilection for aristocratic personages, with an increased aversion to anything low. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.